The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Be prepared for everything. Like, no, Kyle doesn't do that. Kyle's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, no, he's speaking about Caleb here. So, and he's right, though. If you watch Caleb Williams over those last 3 weeks, and look, Chicago's lost six games on the road. They're desperate for a win. They just fired their coach, Matt Eberflus, after that debacle last week in Detroit. It was just inexcusable. You knew somebody's head was going to roll after that situation. So, you get Caleb here, who I thought
it's
coming
the Bears.
It's the Bears. You know, we discussed Caleb in the offseason, where he went to a situation that I at least thought that the Chicago Bears would contend for a playoff spot, but he went to a situation where you have a Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and a Roma Dunze alongside DeAndre Swift. He's got the weapons right away to really perform here, so let's go behind enemy lines out to Chicago to learn more about Caleb and the Bears.
It's the Bears.
All right, my guy Marshall Harris from 670 to score in Chicago. He does a little TV, or he did do a little TV. Now he's just on the radio side with Birdseed here. Marshall, man, good morning, guys. We welcome you to the River Islands guest line, and we know all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Latham? We appreciate you joining us. Joe Shasky, the Butcher, Bonte Hill, and Caleb's balling right now, man. At least with all the nonsense that's gone on in Chicago with the firing of the coaches and offensive coordinators, at least you guys know you got Caleb for the foreseeable future.
That's the good news, right? I mean, you guys got the last pick in the draft. We got the first pick in the draft, and we'll see where the cards fall on Sunday. Unfortunately, I know y'all got some injuries. It's a long line of injuries, right? A long line of injuries that you're dealing with. Well, the Bears have some issues too right now with DeAndre Swift and DJ Moore not practicing yesterday. We're wondering if they're going to be available. And the worst news for the Bears is their backup running back, Roshan Johnson, is in concussion protocol, so they might be down to their third stringer, Travis Homer. But the Bears have not won on the road. They have not won in the division. So this is good that it's an out-of-division game, a chance to maybe two struggling teams, somebody's got to come on top and maybe get a check in the win column, if nothing else.
I did not know that. The Bears are 0-5 on the road. Wow.
Well, I mean,
they're terrible. They're terrible on the road under Matt Eberflus, but he's gone now.
Yeah.
So now it could be a different thing now. So we'll see how it happens. We're still learning. You know how after something happens, you get the backstory? We're still learning the backstory on the Matt Eberflus tenure. And apparently, the offense was just in shambles in terms of communication, getting plays in, lack of efficiency. So now, Thomas Brown is the interim head coach. He went from passing coordinator to offensive coordinator to head coach in a matter of 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's wild.
And he's lost 22 pounds? I'm jealous. I want to know, like,
yes.
is it simply...
Yes.
Did you hear about this, Bonte?
I did hear about it.
He lost 22 pounds. Like man.
Apple vinegar shots. No, I don't know.
I don't know if he's fasting. I don't know if it's just the stress. I mean, the man's been busy. He's been recreating what they do day to day. Their practice regimen is different now. It's a lot of changes here. But as you said, the constant is Caleb. And really the constant here, because I didn't want Thomas Brown to get the interim job. I wanted him to concentrate on Caleb Williams because,
okay,
let's be real, that's all that matters,
yeah,
development and progress of Caleb Williams.
So let me ask you this one. Like, Mike Florio brought it up, and everybody's been talking about it here, trading Kyle Shanahan. No. Like, I mean, look, we do this for a living. We have fun with these things. I mean, 888-957-9570. How many first-round picks does it take for you to consider trading Kyle Shanahan? What is the average Bears fan's opinion of that, of just that whole hypothesis of trading for a coach or trading specifically for Kyle Shanahan?
I'm gonna refer to something that my partner Dan Bernstein often talks about, and I think the Bears faithful believe this. No matter how good you are, no matter how promising you are, when you step through the doors of Halas Hall, where the Bears do everything, practice and whatnot, you become a lesser version of yourself. So here's what's going on right now with the Bears faithful. They believe that whatever move the Bears make will be the wrong move on principle. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. There's no goodwill. There's no benefit of a doubt. They could hire Bill Belichick, and people be like, "Oh, of course you got the washed up coach." That didn't. They could trade for Kyle Shanahan. It's like, well, of course you got Kyle Shanahan. He's not going to be able to. He does dink and dunk stuff. He's not going to be able to develop Caleb. The pessimism is so high for a large percentage of this fan base. It really wouldn't matter. Now, me, if you want to trade for a head coach, go ahead. Last time I saw a trade involved with a coach get going somewhere was Denver. It's working out right now for the Broncos. Sean Payton, I think anybody would tell you, if you have a nice young quarterback, that's a good guy to have. So all of a sudden, Bo Nix, for a lot of time this season, has looked better than the other quarterbacks in this draft class because Sean Payton knows how to build around any kind of quarterback, whether he's 6'5" or 5'10", right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I would be excited to see them get someone in here with experience. But Thomas Brown, to me, is in the driver's seat because people are all, you know, lathered up about Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, and some of these other young hotshot coordinators. But that's how they got in this mess. They got Matt Eberflus, who was a good defensive coordinator. So now they're just like, I just want somebody who's been there. I have two requirements of the head coach, two no-goes. If you have not won a Super Bowl, I'm sorry, if you've not reached a Super Bowl and you've never played Madden, you can't coach the Bears. Those are my two things.
Why the Madden? Why Madden?
Well, you did see Matt Eberflus coach, right?
I just wanted to hear it out of his mouth.
I'm with
that's
you,
all.
Though, dog, because if you don't understand clocks and timeouts right. And what's going on, I mean, that was inexcusable in front of a national audience on Thanksgiving.
Listen, you look around the division, Kevin O'Connell, you've got Dan Campbell, you've got Matt LaFleur. They've all played Madden. They some things are just ingrained in you. There's a reason why everyone was yelling at their television set, whether you are a casual football fan or a diehard, on Thanksgiving Day, watching what happened in Detroit.
You know, our technical producer, Joe Spinotti, is like, Dan Campbell's never played Madden. I disagree with that because we had a rule when I played Madden, if it's 4th-and-3 or lower, you can go for it. You can go for it when they were playing your buddy. So if it's 4th-and-2, 4th-and-1, 4th-and-3, you're all game to go for it. That's how Dan Campbell operates. Did you not watch last night? Game winning field goal in his pocket. He's like, no, we're going to go for it. Yeah. We're going to go for it again. That's Dan Campbell's definitely played Madden.
Exactly. That's my point, though. It's knowing how to be aggressive and being fearless. Matt Eberflus, at the end of his tenure, and maybe throughout, but he finally had a good enough team to win this year, and he coached scared. He coached scared. The evidence bears that out, and he was I'm still traumatized by Matt Eberflus and having to watch
It was that bad then, huh? Because that defense looks good. The defense looks
like
it's
making
plays.
Let's go back. Bonte, let's go back to the Washington Commanders game. You remember that? Ended, right?
Oh, yes. Okay? Stevenson.
Yes. Let's go back. It's not so much that he made the wrong decisions and didn't have control and lack of discipline or whatever you want to say. It's that he would double down on Sunday in the post-game press conference and then triple down Monday morning. Think about that.
Yeah. He did that after Thanksgiving.
We feel good. Exactly. We feel good about what we did there. Who else feels good about what he did there? Oh, I know who. The Detroit Lions.
Marshall, what do the Bears do well? Because I know, I'll let you think about it, because I know what the Niners do well.
Not scoring the red zone?
Well, they get extended and then get hurt. They're really good at getting extended in terms of their contracts and then getting hurt this year in particular. I don't know what else they do really well right now, commit penalties on special teams. What do the Bears do well?
The Bears have a tremendous bend-don't-break defense. That's what they do well. You can gash them in the running game when it's, you know, you're in midfield or even in your own territory. But when it gets down to in the red zone, their red zone defense is pretty doggone good.
Yeah, and the Niners' red zone offense, it's not so good, as we're talking to Marshall Harris here on the River Islands Guest Line, the Bernstein and Harris Show on 670 The Score in Chicago. Midday show, really, really good as you're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. So DJ Moore not playing here. How does he feel about the quarterback? Because we know he was a little outspoken for Justin Fields last year, and know a lot of Bears fans wanted Justin Fields out the door. How's your top flight receiver doing with Caleb Williams? How's that rapport going?
Oh, it's going well now because Shane Waldron was removed as offensive coordinator. And since then, you go look at the targets per game for DJ Moore. It's amazing how much he was not used as a playmaker. In my eyes, he is the closest thing probably to Deebo Samuel in the league in terms of the fact that when you get him the ball, he's not, he's going to make more yards. He's going to make a play. He's going to be able to sustain contact and make people miss. So now he's got, I think, 7+ targets in each of the last 3 games since Shane Waldron got removed as offensive coordinator. You guys are much more familiar with Shane Waldron than probably I am, having dealt with him in Seattle. But it was just, the offense was terrible. You lose 19-3 at home to a Patriots team at the time that had the worst record in the league. That, come on, man. It was what the Bears were doing was embarrassing. And then if you look at what's supposedly the toughest division in football, they could have won all 3 of these games. And what makes this interesting is after the San Francisco game, all they've got left is all 3 division opponents, 2 of them on the road, the Packers on the road and the Vikings on the road, and they've got the Seahawks at home. So Thomas Brown has a chance to really do something here because all those teams are fighting for playoff position, everything else. That's why I say he's in the driver's seat as far as, you know, another coordinator could come and be like, oh, we're going to hire this hot shot. But he will have done the job. Now, I'm not saying he's going to do a good job now. I'm just saying he has opportunity.
Would
not
Thomas Brown, would Bear fans want that? Because I know Raider fans are having second thoughts about Antonio Pierce, who was in a similar situation last season with the Las Vegas Raiders.
I think it's very dissimilar because the Raiders don't have a quarterback, first of all, of the talent of Caleb Williams. And Thomas Brown's already shown that he can enable this quarterback to do well, right? So I think it's a completely different thing when you talk about the Raiders and where they are. And
right.
I know they beat the Chiefs last year. That was their big thing.
That was their big win on Christmas.
But so it's going to have to be more than one win. He'd probably have to win 3 out of the next 5 games and beat the Packers. That's probably the formula for him to be in the driver's seat. But also just how they play. If they play better, you know, they weren't terrible with Matt Eberflus. They just didn't know how to finish off games. And a lot of that was because of the coaching. Coaching matters in this league.
Marshall, what do you think of Brock Purdy? You know, your outside perspective, because we're all over the place with Purdy. Like, he played awesome for a year and longer than that. He's played really well in some playoff games. This year's been a big mixed bag. What do you think of Brock Purdy?
I think Brock Purdy is good, but the difference between him being a good quarterback, as in above average, and being maybe an average quarterback is the weapons around him. I saw what happened when he didn't have his full offensive line and his playmakers available to him and the drop off there. But he looks pretty good when everything's flowing, right? I mean, I think Kyle Shanahan knows what he's doing. He's a good coach. And so I wonder, and you guys can tell me this better than I can, you know, surmise myself. I wonder if he's going to have an Andy Reid type end of tenure in San Francisco, because we all know if Kyle Shanahan was fired tomorrow, there would be plenty of teams interested in his services. It's like the Mike Tomlin thing. People in Pittsburgh, every year they want Mike Tomlin fired. They want a guy who's never had a losing record ever fired. And I get it. He hasn't won a playoff game in a long time. But come on, man. The dude knows how to coach. He knows how to motivate his players and get the best out of his players. He just hasn't had a quarterback in I don't know how long. And you see what Russell Wilson's done of late, and it changes. So with Brock Purdy, I look at it the same way. Would he be the same outside of Kyle Shanahan? I don't know, but I know when Kyle Shanahan has him and the weapons that he needs, he's pretty good. Yeah,
no doubt about that. By the way, before we let you go, we love stadiums on the show. We love, like, when the Midwest teams have open outdoor stadiums. We love when Buffalo, and the fact that Buffalo's not going to have a dome, they'll have a canopy, which covers about 65% of the fan base. Are the Bears and their organization really trying to get an indoor dome stadium in Chicago? Come on, you got to keep it outdoors out there, man. That's the allure of Chicago football. That's Midwest football. Marshall, throw on the beanie and scarf and the pea coat and call it today.
Cash rules everything around me. you already know the rest of the bar. I'm trying to tell y'all.
Dollar bill.
Yeah, dollar bill, y'all. Listen, you build a dome in Chicago, every event that you want, everything you've seen at Jerry World, since they built Jerry World, is coming to Chicago. The NCAA championships coming to Chicago. The Super Bowl coming to Chicago. I mean, cash, man. We all like to live in this idealistic state. We all like to pretend like it's a utopia out here. But cash, man.
Well, that would suck. Honestly, that would suck because One of my fond memories of Bears Niners way back in the day, you may not remember this, but Joe Nedney going up for an end of the half
field goal.
And it was so windy. And Nathan Vashner, that's a name.
Nathan Vashner.
I think he returned it like Texas. 108 yards. And Brian Urlacher laid out like seven people on the way to the Bears scoring a touchdown. It was one of the worst kicks I've ever seen in my life. And the wind alone, just it made it just an incredible highlight. You guys were wearing orange jerseys.
Listen, and there's an argument to be made because gambling is a thing now, and I know you guys for some reason can't seem to get that over that hump in California, but sports gambling is a thing. And so wouldn't you want the most ideal conditions when you're talking about how much money is on the line for all these different games in your sport?
No, I had Sunday night.
I'm with you, bro. Listen, I grew up a Buffalo Bills fan. I'm with you. I'm about that life. I get it. But I'm just telling you, other people from other things are just creating other things.
Marshall, you're so good to us, man. Hey, man, I haven't seen you since the wedding, man. I got to tell you, man. Marshall's
hey, it was a good
down.
Time. Was it a good time?
No, it was a great time. It was a great time. Jason Dubas' wedding.
Oh, yeah, the one I didn't get invited to.
Yeah, no, he didn't get invited to. Him and Dubas.
And you know what? God bless Jason Dubas. He's living his hometown dream now. In Philadelphia. Yes, and he's talking for that man.
Hey, well, we're stripping his Bay Area car because now he's starting to talk about the Niners. Like, oh, yeah, Niner fans, they're struggling, right? I'm like,
oh,
okay, Dumas.
Oh, he switched up his tune.
Oh, he switched
up quick. Wait, time out. Bonte, how long you know that man? You didn't know he was a troll?
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
You just not figured it out?
I know. But he knows the smoke is coming if Philadelphia doesn't win the Super Bowl. So that's coming. That's all I got to hold on to this season in the NFL. Oh, Marshall Mathers.
And you know what? The last time they faced each other in a playoff game, I remember what happened. It was very distinct.
Yeah, we know what happened last time we seen him in Philadelphia in the regular season. Debo scored three touchdowns and wore black out for a swan. So we're going to leave it. We're going to leave
that
it at that, Marshall. You have a good one, man. Thanks so much.
See you, buddy.
All right, appreciate y'all. Have a great day.
You too, Marshall Harris, 670 Score, fun dude out there in Chicago.